KRWM, HD3, Bremerton, Seattle.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today is the show that I have at the end of every month. It's called Conversations with Carol, and what that means is I really don't have a specific topic that I'm going to be talking about and focusing on, but it's a time where I'm going to be sharing some of the energetic changes that are happening, how it's affecting the body, but most importantly, I'm going to be taking calls throughout the entire hour, answering questions about health or relationships or career, or maybe helping you realize that you're not the only one that feels like that you're being put in this meat grinder once in a while energetically, or you feel like Gumby, that your arms are being pulled in so many different directions, or that you feel like you're on an emotional roller coaster. You know, there is something to truth to that, that, you know, we all love to know that we're not the only one that's experiencing it. Of course, we like to be unique, but we don't always like to be the one that's experiencing all the things that are going on. So I'm going to be sharing a little bit about that energy, but again, most important, I want to be taking your calls and sharing my medical intuitive skills with you as much as I can. But again, it doesn't have to just be health related. So if you have a question for me in the U.S. and Canada, you can call me at 877-230-3062. And then international callers, same number, 877-230-3062. All you need to do, of course, is to dial your international calling code. I hope that you're going to join me tomorrow evening, September 29th, 2011, at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. That's 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for my free Your Health teleclass. I have these once a month, and the topic tomorrow in this month's show is going to be on Candida, and that's that yeast fungus imbalance that occurs in the body that is literally the underlying contributor for us having yeast infections, both male and female. Now, in Candida, what occurs is that it can either be isolated in the area where it lives mostly and where it's intended to live, which is in that gastrointestinal, the genital tracts themselves. But what happens is every so often is the overgrowth of Candida becomes so pervasive that it goes what we call systemic. And what that means is that it literally gets into the bloodstream and it travels to other parts of the body, and that it can be responsible for thrush and many other disorders. And some of those include headaches. I've found consistently that migraines have a Candida connection with them, skin outbreaks, the mouth disorder, thrush, that's those little white sores that we get in the mouth and those rough spots. It can be the coating on the tongue itself, sinusitis, psoriasis, endometriosis, digestive disorders, and then also Candida, when it becomes in an overgrowth state, either in that the intestinal genital tracts or goes systemic, it immediately starts the process of weakening the immune system. So there is actually a connection between AIDS and connections between lupus and a connection between chronic fatigue and Candida as well. So I'm going to be talking clinically about what it is, giving you a general description of Candida and how it works, and then also some of the different symptomology associated with it. But most important, as a medical intuitive, I hope that my greatest gift to people is I give a comprehensive picture of what's going on. And what that means is that I'm also going to be sharing a lot of the psychological hidden contributors behind Candida, because I found, as a medical intuitive, Candida is as much psychological as it is physical. And we can treat the physical, but if we don't get to the root of the psychological stress that's associated with it or the negative emotions, then it's difficult for us to sustain the well-being and balance emotionally, mentally, and then also physically. And then energetically as well, which is another thing that I do, is I share how Candida looks in the energy body. I always have found that if I can give someone a comprehensive picture of what's going on, then they basically can take that visualization, that picture, and then act upon it. And then I bring in the roles of the chakras in the dynamics of candida. One of the beautiful things about the energy field versus the physical body is the energy body literally pinpoints where the origin site of any imbalance is that ultimately can create disease in the physical body or illness, meaning that it's more, it's also got the psychological component as well. And so the chakras themselves just say, here, this is where it started. This is where it's the primary symptom. Here's a secondary symptom site. So I'll share that as well. And then, of course, we have to take into the consideration the personality aspect of it, because one of the components psychologically of candida is worry. And the orange personality, if you don't know anything about personality in my work, I teach personality by color. You can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. You can discover your personality color. But what I'll do in the Your Health teleclass that's going to be happening on Thursday, September 29th, 2011 at 5 p.m. is I'm going to be talking about how does your personality really increase the susceptibility for developing candida. And then after all of that, the teleclass is approximately 60 minutes long. I'm going to be taking time, just like I'm doing on my radio show right now, and sharing with you answers to your questions. So again, it's free. You can register online at my website, www.ritberger.com. And again, it's free if you listen, and then in a week or so, there'll be an audio and a printable PDF that will be something that you can download for purchase. And you even can do a try before you buy. So again, tomorrow evening, Wednesday, Thursday, September 29th, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. So I've been having a lot of people talk to me very recently, this last month in particular, with the readings. We went through really an acceleration of energy and this whole new momentum preparing us for the 2012 dynamics of abundance and the quickening and fulfillment of our thoughts and so forth, the manifestation aspect of it. And August 25th of 2011, we actually went into this, ended one cycle, which was kind of a lull where we were having reflective time. It felt like we were sometimes running in molasses or feeling stuck. But then the momentum started picking up. And then October 25th, everything started breaking loose, August 25th, and then started breaking loose and getting quicker and quicker. And that activity, while we are energetic beings first, has really impacted the energy body. And the quickening is going to continue on through 2012, but on October 25th of 2011, we're going to have something called an attunement. And what that means is that we're in momentum. It's kind of like we're chasing a hat in the wind. And on October 25th, it's going to be like, so the universe is going to just stop us, take a deep breath, and say, be present in the moment. Are you really want to chase that hat? And if the answer is yes, then the hat, not only does it become more closer to us being able to manifest it, it does it because we're very mindful of the process that we're going through in order to get there. The energy of 2012 is not about leaps of faith. It's literally about putting one foot in front of the other. So what I have been finding is a lot of conversation about fatigue, lack of passion, people feeling like they're going through the motions of life, but they're really feeling disconnected from it. And then also the mantra that I hear so often is, Carol, I feel like I'm on an emotional roller coaster. So those are some of the things going on. I do want to jump in and take some calls. I'm going to continue to come back and fill out some more information as far as how does this affect the energy body, because our mind only deals with what's physical, what's obvious, but in reality, we're energy beings first, physical second. So a lot of the things that our mind can't connect the dots and figure out what's why it's happening really has to do at an energetic level. So let me jump in right now. Hi, Margot from California. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Oh, hi, Carol.
Thank you
for taking my call.
My pleasure. Thanks for being the first one that got through.
Yeah. No, I'm so happy to get through to you. I've spoken to you before.
Mm-hmm.
I had a car accident 2.5 years ago.
You did.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the last time I spoke with you, you said you got this hit that in my pelvic girdle. I had a hairline fracture.
Yeah, thin hairline fracture.
Yeah, and what happened is shortly after talking to you, I had to stop going to the gym because the pain was too high, and then I thought, oh, I'm just going to rest this.
Right.
So I decided to, wait 3 months before going to see my chiropractor.
Right.
And he said that it was twisted.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is like he gave me these exercises that I've been doing for 2 weeks, but it still feels like something's wrong. And I don't know. I guess I'm like, I value exercising so much, I'm scared. So.
Right. Right. And again, like I had said before, sweetie, that fear is very founded from the standpoint that our world starts to shrink. It really becomes closer and closer. We become more limited. That sense of freedom that we have, that movement, mobility that we have, starts to become threatened or in jeopardy, and the mind is going to continue to fixate on it until the problem is fixed. And then if it can't be fixed, the mind deems that it can't be fixed, while we know that things always can and that the body's always trying to heal. What happens is the mind then just really fixates to the point where we can't move beyond what we're doing. I remember very well the conversation, because I remember getting off the air with you, Margot, and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, and I do this a lot, truthfully, for all of you, is I thought, you know, I think I may have, well, my desire was to share information. My intent was not to add to the fear that was already there. So I really had to go in when I got off the show and spend some time with it and reflect it, the way, what I said, how I said it, and so forth. And I want to go back and reiterate that, so thank you for calling. That hairline fracture, sweetie, is the part that is taking the longest to heal. It is healed from the standpoint that it is, there's no longer that fracture, but it does have a weakness in that hip, that what is occurring is that the muscles are really doing their job in trying to protect it. And in that process of protecting it, those muscles have the memory that there's an injury that, for me, really, and you validate it, was not picked up. That if someone had gone in and possibly seen this hairline fracture that you had as a result of the accident and stuff, then it would have allowed your mind to realize that there's some healing that's going on at a deeper level, and then the mind wouldn't have continued to fixate on it to the point where there was fear. But your muscles remember very well the emotional, the emotions you were experiencing prior to the accident and what you remembered within the accident. And in the work that you're doing, the skeleton themselves, where the fracture was, is healed. It's just that the muscles are remembering that if we turn this way or twist this way, what's going to happen is we're possibly going to re-injure ourselves. So it's doing what it's designed to do, but as a result, it becomes hypervigilant to the point that it will not allow anything that looks like, quacks like, walks like, whatever it may be, that's going to injure that part of the body. That's what you're dealing with. So the muscles themselves have memory within them. I'll see. We'll see if I can go in and I can pick up all the emotions, because you were really in a, you felt like you were in a chaotic time prior to the accident, had a whole gamut of emotions that are going on. So I'll see if I can pinpoint one that maybe can give you another piece of that puzzle.
Okay.
But one of the things is that the muscles are protecting on one side of your hip, and the other side of the muscles are trying to move that, those muscles, so they don't get locked in, and then the, you don't get the buildup of the fascia getting hard, or you don't get the lactic acid, or you don't get the inflammation, and so forth. So when the muscles aren't working in tandem, but they're working against each other, what occurs is then we start feeling locked down. And when we lock down, the muscles become more tight. The pelvic girdle becomes very tight, seated in one place. Knees are affected. Ankles are affected. Plantar ligaments are affected. Ball of the foot is affected. And the toes are affected, as well as the many bone structures that we have in the foot, the feet themselves. So in waiting for the chiropractor, you didn't do anything wrong. The fact that you had been exercising the body, and most likely the body was willing to work with you up to a point, and then it went in and said, you know what, I just don't think I want to go any further with you, then it tightened up. And until those muscles could get to a place where they knew they weren't going to be hyperextended or require activity that was going to maybe put your spine and your hip and your bones in jeopardy, what it did is they basically just locked it down. And then what you did is they became more locked down, and then it was the remnants of where you were after the accident. And then something came in, call it intuition, most likely came in and said, you know what, if I don't move, I'm not going to move. And then you went to the chiropractor. So what the chiropractor is doing is the chiropractor is changing the way the central nervous system from your brain is talking to your spine via the nerves to the muscles. That's what your chiropractor is doing. In that process, that tailbone, the coccyx, is coming back into its normal position where it's been tucked under. That's going to create some pain. And what that's going to happen is that pain may feel familiar, and then your muscles are going to tighten down again. So your chiropractor very slowly, methodically, is going to open up something is referred to as subulation. Change the way the vertebrae are, put them in alignment, change the way the central nervous system is dialoguing from the brain to the peripheral nerves throughout the body. So then the nerves will relax, and that will give you more mobility.
Oh, wow.
So the process, it's a process. And the thing where you are now, sweetie, is we've got to go in and get those muscles to recognize that if they let go and stop trying to control, you're not going to be hurt. And I'm saying to you again, excuse me for the broken record, but the fracture is taken care of. It's already healed. Okay. It's just that the muscles are afraid of that occurring. The jarring that you had and so forth was something the muscles can deal with. But anytime we have any kind of breakage or fracture, call it whatever, in the body, those muscles are going to do everything to isolate it. Okay, so that's why the hip. Yes, go ahead.
It's just like I'm usually.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I just value like exercising so much. And the other day I was just passing out flyers in my neighborhood for an event.
Right.
And my right toe, big toe, I come home and my 30 minutes later, my foot was killing me.
Yeah, and that comes back to the hip. So one of the things that you can do is that the movement, the walking, is really very healthy for you. That needs to be done every day because I say if you don't move, you're not going to move. So that needs to be done every day. But remember, sweetie, those muscles are still hanging on to those, you know, those sockets and those bones and the structure and everything because it doesn't want to hurt anything. So the best thing to do is to very methodically work and do your walking. That's the very best thing that you can do. You don't have to do high exertion walking, speed walking, just walk. What that'll do is it will loosen up the hamstring muscles. You also didn't your physical therapist give you hamstring stretches?
No.
Okay, talk to your chiropractor and ask your chiropractor to give you some stretches that are very, very simple. You've got some yoga stretches that are very, very simple that you can go in that can loosen the muscles, kind of like preparing you to, you know, become active and then allow you to just methodically walk. I would basically just walk very gently, very short period of time, and then build it up. That will be the best thing that you can do. Watch your shoes. Be sure that they're laced right. If you're wearing tennis shoes, they have good arch support because that'll keep your foot upright instead of pronating, turning your ankles in, which is something that's the result of the accident as well. All those things are going to help you, sweetie.
You don't see, like, my right foot, the big toe, that it got fractured from walking.
No. Oh. No, it did. No, not at all. All you're dealing with is you're dealing with muscles in the glutes, the hamstring, the muscles that come down into the Achilles tendon, and then also the muscle structure in the foot. All it did is that the muscle just got pulled. It's more of what I would call a muscle sprain than it is anything else, Whitty.
Yeah, because maybe I am doing hamstring exercises. I put my legs up. I lay on my back. Is that a hamstring?
Yep, yep. And then, you know, again, talk to your chiropractor because they'll tell you some different things to do, and then that will help you a lot. But I do need to say to you, and thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Sweetie, you are healed. We just need to, see, here's why I was stalling. Okay, so the emotion that you were dealing with the most that you have buried in the muscles is tied to regret. There's something that you were dealing with prior to the accident that you had a lot of regret around, and the emotion that you're holding in your muscles is sadness.
Okay.
So that'll give you that psychological component.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate your reading.
You are so welcome, and thank you all my listeners for letting me take the time to give Margo a comprehensive picture. Hi, Kim from Pennsylvania. How can I help you, sweetie? Hi, sweetie.
I have a two-part question. I want to know if my going into coaching and energy healing is where I should be going. And then is the energy drain and kind of heaviness that I've been feeling have to do with all the personal work and energy releasing that I've been doing?
Okay, I can answer both of those. The first thing is that it feels like you still need a little bit of clarity as far as how you're going to name yourself. The coaching is certainly up your alley. You have mentor, teacher, coacher. Coach energy about you. You have a true passion and desire to be of service to people. You don't want to become their crutch, so your work has got to be very well defined from the standpoint that, excuse me for saying it, but they need to do their work because you don't want to have to carry them. So you want to call in clients that are going to be really willing to take those steps that are needed in order for them to make a difference in their life. Your job is to speak the truth of the wisdom that you have inside, which you do eloquently, but not to be held accountable if they don't take the step at that point in time, whatever that looks like to you. So the coach is certainly there. The energy part of it's certain there from the standpoint of understanding the energy body, the flow of energy, and so forth, and how it can become congested, blocked, protruded, all those things. All of that information's there. The thing that feels like it's missing to me, sweetie, is how you're going to merge the two of those in what you're going to call yourself. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to call yourself a health coach? Are you going to call yourself a energy coach, a wellness coach? Do you have a sense of what you want? You're a different kind of coach because you have the natural instinct to bring forward in your coaching the fact that we're energy first and then physicalness second, the physicality second. So you might want to just think the only thing that feels like it's still gray area for you is what is that word going to be before coach? And whether you use that word or not in what you call yourself really doesn't feel important to me. But in your mind, because your mind has the tools, it has the knowledge, it has the wisdom, it has the instincts around it, your mind doesn't know exactly what you do. And so if you can give it a name, I started out calling myself a bioenergetic diagnostician, and after people got that glazed look over their face, it's like, so what do I really do? I do medical intuition. Now, I do so much more than medical intuition, but the thing is, I had to give my brain something that it could say, oh, that's what Carol's doing. And that's one of the things that I encourage you to do. And the energy right now is really conducive for that, Kim, because the momentum is happening and you can take those pauses to really look at what you do. Have you ever tried a process called clustering, sweetie?
No.
Okay. Clustering is you put a circle in the center of the a blank piece of paper, and what you do is you can put energy coach if you want, or you can put coach. You put a word in the center. You allow the mind to take that word and build off of it. So you have the word, I'm going to use hypothetically, coach. Coach. Next word that comes up is teacher. Put that in a circle. Connect the coach with teacher with an arrow. And then what you do is teacher. And then you go in and go, okay, well, mentor. And then mentor comes off it. And you just allow your mind to engage by giving you pictures and words. And maybe it's energy and healing and so forth. Clustering, you can actually go in and Google clustering, see what the process looks like. The Artist Way has information on clustering inside of it. You can look at that as well. But it's a way for your brain and your inner wisdom, your soul, to be able to find a common dialogue so your brain can have a picture of what you're trying to do.
Okay.
Now now the next part of it is that there is a tendency of people who are empathic, meaning hypersensitive to other people's emotions, and that's how you connect with people, is for you to take on those emotions as an empath, to be able to connect with them, to get the information that's needed. The only thing is that sometimes that disconnect of the emotional connection doesn't take place. That's going to drain you of energy. That could put weight on you, because I've found consistently people that tend to be highly developed in their empathic abilities tend to have a need. It's like they store this information or energetic information inside of them when they're not even aware of it. So one of the things that you're feeling as far as fatigue is, remember that your connection with people is through the emotions. And when you get through with working with them, whether it's an hour or 2 hours, whatever it may be, is you want to come up with a way for you to be able to visually, energetically disconnect from them. The second part of it is part of the fatigue aspect of it, and all my listeners can really appreciate this, so thank you, sweetie, for bringing this forward, is the momentum is so quick right now. Our mind is so busy trying to figure out what just happened, why we're feeling the way we are, what can we do next, how can we stop the process, how can we move the process forward, how can we do this and that. The mind is very, very active and energetically is creating a lot of disharmony in our field. So it's changing actually the circadian rhythms. It's changing the DHEA, the melatonin in the physical body. It's changing the activity of the thyroid. So we have things to say, but we're sometimes so tired we can't really say them as eloquently as we'd like. So you're also part of this work, sweetie, as you're caught up in the dynamics right now of this momentum. Take a deep breath every so often. Come in, kind of ask your body, did I pick up any of those little emotional dust bunnies? And then go in and say, what do I need to do? Maybe you need to yawn to give your brain more oxygen. Maybe you need to sit down and take a 15-minute quiet time out. But that's something that will be very important for you, sweetie, as you sustain your work over the course of time so you don't experience those highs and lows that you're capable of to the point where you get chemically out of balance, energetically out of balance. And then you step back and go, you know, I don't know whether I want to do this work. And I'll tell you, Kim, we need you to do this work, honey. We really need you to do this work. And to let you know, you are doing this work. If you can recognize it within yourself, then you can do it mindfully, joyfully, and then you'll be able to find the rewards and satisfaction you're looking for in order to continue the work. That's very important to us doing our work.
Okay. All right. So am I doing too much? Because I've been releasing a lot of emotions with my energy work and working like overtime, working on me. Am I maybe overdoing it?
Nope, not at all. The best thing to do is to bless all those people that have come to you, whether it's your guides, your angels, whether it's the people in your life, because what they're doing is they're allowing you to help someone else while you do your work, and that's the most exquisite healing we can actually do. And when you release, then you help them release, and then they help you release, and then you help them release, and now we have that beautiful bond that we have when soul to soul meets. So absolutely, you know, just let it flow, honey. Just, you know, when it comes in and you get that emotional release, gratitude, gratitude, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank the person, and then next, move on.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You are so welcome. Well, I want to jump in right now and do a very quick commercial break, and then I'm going to come back. I have a couple more callers. I want to talk a little bit more about the energy and how it's impacting the chakras, and we'll just have lots of good information to share. Please stay tuned. I'll be right back.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.riterger.com.
Now is your chance to be part of the show. Call 877-230-3062. Call in with your questions or thoughts and talk with the host and their guest. Again, that number is 877-230-3062.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining me today. If you are just joining me, I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today this is a Conversations with Carol show. What that means is I'm taking your calls and answering your questions about health, about relationships, about career, and it's just a time for us to just be able to enjoy each other's company and for me to answer your questions. As a good yellow, that couldn't be any sweeter in life as far as my personality, because I love to solve problems. I also, let me go back. If you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good, U.S., Canada, and then also internationally as well. I also have another event that's coming up that's going to be very exciting. It's certainly, again, in alignment with the energy of 2012, the energy of abundance. The name of the class is called Rewire Your Brain for Abundance. I have a couple of different classes I'm going to be teaching. One is going to be in Sacramento, California on October 15th, and the other one's going to be in Eagan, Minnesota on October 22nd. And what I'm going to be doing is sharing ways for you to realize how your brain gets fed chemically to those threat-based, fear-based habits that we try to break when we go into the abundance pattern. But the reality of it is we're so conditioned in our brain is that all it wants to do is to feed those fears and insecurities rather than really supporting us in the brand new thought. So I'm going to be looking at the class, the neurobiology of abundance, what to do when willpower isn't enough, how to overcome threat-based mental habits, and then how can we create new reward-centered abundant habits in a way that we can literally change the chemistry of the brain so it supports us, and then we can use energy, the metaphysics of abundance, and we can use our desires and our passions in order to be able to create the abundance that we're looking for. So that class is going to be October 15th in Sacramento, California, in Eagan, Minnesota, October 22nd. You can actually go on my website, www.ritberger.com, and register right there online, and then I hope to see you at either of those events. And then the night before, on the Friday night, October 21st in Eagan, I'm going to actually be doing an entire evening of readings, and then on October 14th in Sacramento, California, I'm going to do an evening of readings, and that is literally 2 hours of answering questions from the audience. So always a good time, lots of information shared. Not everybody is guaranteed a reading, but it's so interesting the way the evening of readings work is that when one person asks a question, multiple people in the audience get the answers they're looking for. So again, check out the events on my website, www.ritberger.com. One of the things I did want to share when I started out this morning, and I want to do it right now in the first segment, is I talked about a lot of people telling me, Carol, I feel so tired. There's a lack of passion. I feel like I'm going through the motions of life, and I feel like I'm on an emotional roller coaster. Well, one of the things that I have found that in order to be able to really understand the dynamics of healing using the chakra system is to understand the tension between the chakras that create the different things that we're feeling. So when it comes to fatigue, the tension is really between the seventh and the fifth chakra. The seventh chakra is that holistic perspective we have of life. It's where the inner wisdom is that we have that merges with the knowledge that we acquire. It connects us to our higher self, the higher self of the universe. And it really is that part of us that is open and receptive to taking on new things or seeing things differently. Fifth chakra is all about personal expression. If we're repeating old patterns in the things that we say and reflecting old patterns of thinking, then we literally create a tension, which with the seventh chakra that says, try, you discover, explore. And the fifth chakra, reflecting our human part of it, the physical part, comes in and says, oh, I don't know about that. You really need to be very safe. You remember what happened when that you tried that before, it really didn't work. So the negativity of that fifth chakra conversation really shuts down the seventh chakra opportunity that we have. So that creates fatigue. This lack of passion that I keep hearing about, this is the tension between the third and sixth chakra. Sixth chakra is associated with our intuition. It provides a bigger picture. It helps us see beyond the obvious, look at possibilities, create ideas, really spark the imagination. So again, it really is looking at change from a holistic standpoint and requires that we follow our intuition as we move forward and use it as an inner guide and kind of that tool of discernment to decide, is this really where we want to go? The third chakra is actually the chakra around willpower. It's the chakra around self-confidence. And if our intuition is telling us to just take the steps in a direction we're not comfortable with, that third chakra is coming in and saying, you know what? I'm not sure you're really going to like doing this. I don't think you're going to be very successful at it. You did try something similar to it, but it didn't really work for you. And now what we have is we have a battle between our intuition and our logic. And then what that does is it really drains us of the passion. It's hard for us to go in that dynamics, that tug of war between the third chakra and the solar plexus and the sixth chakra and the third eye. It's difficult for us to go in and touch our heart and say, you know, what do I really love to do? Going through the motions of life is a tension between the first and third chakra, and then also the 11th chakra. First chakra is survival. We go through the motions of life in order to sustain habits that help us go through the emotion. Third chakra creates a lot of the anxiety about having to move out of the different habits that we have, changing perceptions, letting go of beliefs that are held in that third chakra that can undermine our self-confidence. And then the 11th chakra, because I work with the 13th chakra system, 11th chakra comes in and says, you know what, just trust. And the first and third chakra go, huh? And the 11th chakra goes, just trust your heart, trust your soul, trust your intuition. The emotional roller coaster is the tension between the second chakra and the fourth chakra. Very simply said, fourth chakra is our heart chakra, and how we relate to ourselves. And second chakra is the human emotion chakra that basically reflects the history that we have with our relationships with other people. The fourth chakra believes that we can do anything that is our heart's desire and that has that spark of passion, whether it's a lot or a little, doesn't make any difference. And the second chakra is the coulda, woulda, should I. I could have done this. And the heart's going, yes, you could. Come on, let's do it. And then the second chakra goes, well, I would have done this if it wouldn't have been this way. And the fourth chakra goes, blah, 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 blah. And then it would have been the coulda, woulda, shoulda. And then it goes in and coulda, coulda, woulda, woulda, shoulda, shoulda. And then the heart goes in, you know what? Second chakra, you just do your thing. And when you get through with all this ruminating of all the past and things that you haven't been able to do or you can't break free of, why don't you come back to your heart and touch your soul? And then all things are truly possible. So a lot of the energy that we're experiencing in physical ramifications really boils down to tension between chakras. Chakras, very exquisite. They are designed to work in harmony and unison and cooperation with each other. But the mind can come in and can disrupt that and create disharmony. And then the chakras get to a place where one chakra hears something, the other one doesn't hear it at all, and the two can't dialogue the way they need. So if you're familiar with chakras, then knowing the tension between the chakras around the fatigue and, again, around the emotional roller coaster, I hope will be of value to you. Because the value of knowing chakras is if there's tension between that's creating fatigue between the seventh and fifth chakra, just put harmony back in one. Fifth chakra. say what's truthful to you instead of regurgitating, as I call it, other people's words. Simple things that we can do. Use affirmations that inspire, that empower, instead of saying things that basically drain you of your enthusiasm for life. Simple things that we can do. All right, let's jump in. Hi, Carrie from California. How can I help you, sweetie?
Oh, I'm so excited to talk with you, Carol. I've learned so much from you over the years.
Well, thank you for that. My gosh, that makes me feel good and smile all over.
Oh, well, my heart just dances whenever I hear your voice on the air, so I'm really, really thankful for this opportunity. And what I'm calling about is 3 weeks ago, I fell in my backyard, and I fractured my right wrist in a couple of places, and mm-hmm. I want to create a strong, flexible wrist, and I'd like to know if there's anything on a soul level that I need to know that would help me in my healing process.
There is, and let me first of all go and tell you that the best thing you can do is to release the energy congestion that you have in your shoulder. Because that's what's clamping those bones and those muscles down, that is going to inhibit how quickly you can heal. Your body is very sound. It has wonderful healing ability about it. The immune system created an inflammatory response in the wrist itself. It did a great job in protecting it, but it's like it migrated up to the shoulder. And so I've got inflammation in the shoulder. I've got tightness in the neck area. If you just go in and if you can see that the energy in your shoulder is like real thick motor oil.
Okay.
And what you want to do is you want to visualize it just kind of heating up and the sun and the warmth, whatever it is, and now it becomes very fluid like melted butter.
Oh, I love that image.
Then what it's going to do, it's going to take the pressure off of the wrist itself. Now, the other thing is that, and I say it with love, but I do have to say it. Sweetie, you have to stop holding yourself responsible for falling.
Oh, wow. You pegged me. You got me.
Because you know what? How it felt to me is that you were playing it too safe. Sorry, that's how it feels. And you know what? That's not your nature. Your nature is whatever you get into, man, you just get into it 110%. It's just like, woo, what am I going to do now? Let's just, you know, rub our hands together. Wow, this could be fun, fun, fun. But for some reason, you were playing it safe. And as a result, you were out of balance. You were out of character. You weren't your true self. And so now the gift of saying that, I hope, if I still have listeners on the line, but the gift of saying that is, sweetie, is that you've done this before and you've known when it hasn't worked. You're not being punished. What you're doing is you're being asked. Your soul is saying, you know, Carrie, we need to be that joyful person. We need to be the person that anything you do, you're going to do it 110%, sweetie. In this healing, let's do it 110%. Don't carry the weight of the world on your shoulder. Don't play it safe. You have three people riding on your right shoulder that basically is taking away your joy right now. And you know what? You don't have to be mean to them. You don't have to go in and go, let's see, I think this belongs to you, and it belongs to you, and belongs to you, and call them up and say, hey, listen, I'm carrying you around, and I don't want to do it anymore. But what you can do is say, you know what? All I can do is be my joyful self. All I can do is the best I can do. All I can do is speak my truth. And then you know what? It's up to them to take the information and do something with it. Going back, what happened a month before you fell? Where were you in your life, sweetie? I need you to go back actually 32 days. I know that's very precise, but that's what your soul just told me.
Wow, okay.
If you can't come up with anything, think about it, because that's what started the disharmony and the tension and caused you to lose focus on who you are, because you were busy being who you thought you should be.
Oh, okay. I think it revolves around, I lost my dad a couple of years, and we're just on the brink of, like, selling the last little bits of the estate and stuff, and I think I was, a lot of thought was around that, and
yep.
Brother issues and different yep. things like that.
Yep, yep. And I'll tell you something even deeper, is it was all around male energy on your right shoulder.
Wow. That's
and one of the things that you're being asked to do is to embrace your masculine energy, that warrior in you that can speak its truth in a very compassionate, loving way, but it must speak its truth. And at that point in time, you were trying. I do know you were trying. You just weren't being heard. And an old pattern came in and said, you know, why even bother? And what I want to say to you is, bother. So all I find is redefine masculine energy to you. You're very strong. It's interesting that you were the one that had to handle everything when in reality your brother should have. So I come back and say, I wonder why that was lobbed back to her. It was like a ping pong ball got hit back to you, and where did it come from? So again, opportunity here. Your body is healing. It's healing very, very nicely. I just need to get rid of that congestion energetically in the shoulder. Then the chi can flow out through the wrist the way that it needs to. And what it'll do is it'll flow through the right wrist, and then it will also create balance and harmony in the spine and flow out through the left wrist. And then you'll be back into balance. You'll be your same old Carrie that I know has a marvelous sense of humor and that really does have that little train attitude. I can do this. I can do this. You don't know how. I know you don't know how most of the time, but you know what you always do, don't you?
Oh, you got me exactly. This is exactly me.
It is exactly you. And you know what I want to say to you with great love? Sweetie, be mindful, but don't play it safe.
Okay. Okay. I know you, at this stage in my life, that is truly what I'm really going for it. I'm going for it, Carol.
Well, and you know what? Congratulations. You're at an age you can finally do that, and everybody will look like you at you like, oh, well, you know, I don't know what to ever expect of her anymore. You know, maybe menopause, or maybe it's senility, or maybe it's this. And, you know, I just, oh, my gosh, I have got a new appreciation for this time in life because all my kids look at me and go, she's lost it. And I'm going, yes, I have.
Yes, I know. Thank God I lost it. I'm on to all good, joyful, fun stuff. Yay.
Yay, you sure are, sweetie. So again, healing very, very nicely. I just need to get the energetics out of there. You might even try a little bit of castor oil pack that Edgar Cayce would use to be able to get the chi flowing and get the inflammation out. That's going to help you. But the wrist is really healing very, very nicely. Both breaks are. And I think your doctor, you're going to an orthopedic guy?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Gonna love what you're doing.
Yay. Oh, you've been so much help to me. Thank you. Thank you.
You are so welcome. How fun. All right. Let's go ahead and jump in. Hi, Linda from Alameda. How can I help you, sweetie? Hi, Linda.
Hello?
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
I'm just fine. Before the line got pressed, I was saying I'm a first-time listener, and just in this 1 hour so far, I have learned so much.
Well,
and
thank you.
And you are such a joy.
Well, oh, thank you, honey, and thank you for being a first-time listener. Oh, my gosh. So how can I help you?
Well, just like the other person, about a year ago, I happen to be totally blind, and so I sort of zigged where I should have zagged in front of a drugstore, and my cane hit a car tire, and I fell down, go boom, and broke my wrist, and the one bone broke into three pieces, and I had subsequent healing, and it's apparently healed fine, but right after the therapy ended, I got bronchitis, and it relapsed, and it relapsed, and I finally got over it sometime. This was between February and about May.
Right.
And then in August, I got really sick again. And I don't know that this cold went into bronchitis, but it sure felt like it was, you know, about to. And I'm going, okay, is there any connection here? Or, you know, is my immune system just, you know?
Well, actually, you're right. The bones themselves, everything did heal very, very nicely. Were you on antibiotics or any kind of medication at the time that you fell?
Not when I fell, no. I mean, I'm on medications.
Right.
But not, I mean, you know,
but you
antidepressants
are
and I'm a diabetic and I'm a...
Okay, gotcha. Okay, that's... Yep. So, The bronchitis itself, sweetie, is a result. Let's see if I can do this. I needed to find out what medication the connection was. I got a connection, not with the break, but the break took me to the body that took me to the medication. Mm-hmm. And what the medication is doing is it's creating a yeast overgrowth, candida.
Okay.
And being diabetic, there is a natural predisposition for blood sugar imbalances that mm-hmm. is a precursor for candida. Bronchitis, when candida goes systemic, it gets in the bloodstream. The place that it first and foremost forms is it forms an allergen or a pathogen or an allergic reaction in the lungs itself that can create inflammation. That inflammation, if it's candida fed, that yeast fungus imbalance, that overgrowth imbalance, goes systemic to that area, then what it will do is it will continue to feed that area, and that's your bronchitis.
Oh, my gosh, because I'd never had that before. Oh, my heaven.
Well, you probably did, but you probably did. In fact, I can tell you, you have ever since you've been in your late teens, early 20s. Did you used to have yeast infections, or did you have skin outbreaks, or those are two things I was picking up? Vaginitis. Did you have any? Well, I won't ask that question. It's kind of personal. But anyway, just please think about it. But what it was is it's tied to the serotonin, dopamine, insulin, thyroid, that entire process. So what my sense is that your body has been able to work with it.
Okay.
For a long period of time. It's a predisposition that you feel like you have. So what it means is that simple carbohydrates that metabolize too quickly into glucose. I know being diabetic, you're sensitive to that, but mm-hmm. your body's going to naturally take even carbohydrates that are designed to metabolize slower. It's going to try to quicken it. Also, your blood sugar levels, all of those are precursors for candida. My sense is the reason it was tied to the fall is that it traumatized the immune system to
okay.
the point of dealing with the wrist, so it couldn't focus on what it's been dealing with
okay,
for a long time.
Okay, I had a feeling that there was a tie-in somewhere.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So in that particular case, what occurred is it just your body just got overwhelmed.
Okay.
And then your immune system said, okay, well, I've been dealing with this candida, this imbalance, this predisposition in the small intestine, the intestinal tract, and now I've got to leave that. I've got to go work on the wrist, which it did. Did a great job, but then that yeast, fungus imbalance, bacteria imbalance that normally is held in check gets out of balance, and then candida feeds on glucose and sugar.
Would this also have to do with irritable bowel syndrome?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely. That's one of – now, again, doctors don't connect these dots because they really haven't – kind of grown into the awareness that candida, and especially systemic candida, which you get that goes to your lungs and everything, in that particular case, they haven't really found either the information that can support it to find that a lot of the things that we have happening in the body really has to do with the way that this yeast feeds on glucose. So having said all that, the one thing that you want to do is you want to, as your bronchitis gets to the point where it's feeling like it's coming back, especially I'm going to take you in an acute situation, first of all, what you want to do is you want to stop all sugar.
Okay.
All simple carbohydrates. You want to starve it.
Okay.
And then what it'll do is then your immune system will go back and it will put that imbalance back in check, and then you won't have the bronchitis.
Ah. Okay,
so what you want to do
then.
Is you just, yeah. Well, and the thing, now you do know that. And so what you want to do, and also you'll want to watch the fruits because they are high in sugar, even though it's natural. I know with your diabetes, you have to be very sensitive to that. But when you start feeling like you get that rattling in the chest or a little bit of that low-grade cough it feels like you get, then what that's saying is candida is present there. We need to starve it. We need to cut it back. We want to alkalize instead of being acidic, and then you can look at ways to be able to do that. You might want to find books on acid alkaline diet balancing that you can work within the diabetes itself, and that can help you. Also know, sweetie, that the medication that you take is also going to increase susceptibility, so it's something to be mindful of with how you put your diet together, how you eat things, how often you eat, and so forth. It's just, I would love to tell you that, you know, we'll, I believe that it can be kept in check, but I believe that there's a predisposition with all the things going on. You're just going to have to be mindful of it and manage it.
Well, and I'm sure that, you know, the depression doesn't, is there a relationship between depression and diabetes?
Yeah. There is, sweetie, and it's back to serotonin. And you know what, Linda? My gosh, thanks for being a first-time listener. I hate to do this, sweetie. I've got to end. All of you, thank you so much for joining me. I love these shows. I love talking to you. I hope that you'll join me next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you on the radio. Light and love.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.